Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is April, and that means, 2024 is like really underway. Can't hide from it now. And if you didn't get all the things that you were supposed to get done in the first quarter of the year, there's three more to go. And that time's gonna fly by really, really fast. So, without further ado, this is the MSP Initiative. MSP Talk. It is April 2nd, 2024. We're gonna get some housekeeping out of the way, get into the good stuff, and bring on our guest for today. MSPinitiative.com. This is basically everything that we do here at MSP Initiative. So if you are following our sessions, we've done hundreds and hundreds of these. You'll find all of the recordings, podcasts, YouTube links here under sessions at MSPinitiative.com. Please like, follow, share, all that good stuff. We do this for you. MSP Community Minds, this is an educational event coming up in Nashville, April 17th, 18th. We have a ton of cool speakers, MSPs, panels, totally free for you to attend. There is no $3.99, $9.99, $12.99 registration fee. You do have to get there. That is the cost part. But once you are there as an MSP, we will wine you, dine you, and teach you. So check that out, April 17th, 18th, MSP Community Minds. Then we have our probably what we're most famous for, block parties. We just completed our first one with the Enable team down in Dallas last week. So if you came out, or hopefully you had a great time at Sidecar Social there in Frisco. We just posted all the event photos. So they're online on our Facebook page. Go check them out. The next one actually will be a combo of PAX 8 Beyond in Denver. So that is PAX 8's like normal conference. There's actually two of them this year, one in Denver in June, and then one in Berlin, Germany, I believe in October. So the one in June is happens to be the same week as the Kaseya DattoCon event in Dublin as well. So we're going to split our team up and do both during the same week. So I guess it depends on where you are in the world. But we're running two block parties at the same time. Check them out. We're happy to do these again. They're fun, but a lot of work. Offers for the community. These are just companies that have thrown some deals up there. Take advantage if they fit in our industry calendar. We try and keep up with these like 300 events that we know of, and they just keep on coming that we put into the calendar for the year. You can check them out at MSPinitiative.com. So that is all of the housekeeping. This guest comes back to us. He's not new to the show, but we like to bring him back every once in a while to talk shop. From Tampa, Florida, the very own Terry Hedden from Marketopia. How are you doing today, Terry?
I'm doing good, George. How are you?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well. I think it was a week-ish ago, I think, or maybe two. I was floating through my Facebook feed, and somebody had said something, I guess, about Zoom info, and you were like, "Uh-oh, be aware." I figure we'll open the show up with that.
All right. Yeah, guys, one of the things that pisses me off is when people get ripped off and when people are dishonest and we've been in the business a long time, and there's pros and cons to everything you do in life. But for me, Zoom Info has a special place in my heart in terms of where I got burned. And so I wanted to try to share that in the hope that I could prevent someone else from getting burned. Basically, with Zoom Info, guys, the data's good, no disrespect to it. I think there are other good sources of data that we represent, and without this big downside, which is that if by some chance, the first one with Zoom Info, you never own the data. So you think you own the data, but you really have zero ownership of the data at all. So if you buy a contact with an email address from Zoom Info, and you pay for it and you downloaded it, that is not yours. That is theirs. You're borrowing it. The only point at which you own it is if you email that person and they respond. So you establish a business relationship with that person. So their business model is based on customer retention through litigation. So what does that mean? So George goes down there and buys, 10,000 MSPs. He downloads the database. He gets all of the people watching and one honeypot. That honeypot is owned by Zoom Info. And if you stop paying and email that honeypot, they will sue you. period. And it's not minor. It's big money, and they have in-house litigation. They have teams of people. That's what they do. And they basically get you to resubmit, resubscribe for an hour or for a year at the minimum to keep them from suing you. And they don't mess around. It's not like they send you a warning letter. They literally just sue you for stealing their data. So my warning to the channel is that that's not a vendor to talk to. It's not a vendor to work with. And if you've already engaged with them, for the love of God, delete every single thing they possibly could have given you before the end of that contract to avoid getting into a tangle with in-house corporate counsel that costs them nothing but costs you $500 an hour or more to defend yourself.
Wow. But that is crazy. I don't think nobody I've talked to prior to now, I don't think even knows about this.
Most people resubscribe. But once we realized that the data was not as good as some of the other sources that we have, we didn't want to resubscribe. So as long as you subscribe every year, it's not a problem. So
what a business strategy. Could you imagine like that being employed in our sandbox? I don't think it would work.
No, the people talk. I think they depend on ignorance and or maybe all of their customers are perfect. So they never miss one when they're trying to delete data. But I would tell you that most people don't even read contracts. I would tell you that most people that buy Zoom Info think they actually own the records that they purchased. So it's one of those things that you don't know until you find out, you know? You don't realize it until you find out.
Wow. So we open up with some pretty good advice. Terry, for people who don't know you and your story and like the background to, you know, like you were an MSP, but I'll let you tell your story. And then ultimately, you know, now you're on the vendor side. Just a quick, you know, drive by, and then we'll get in some good sure. stuff there.
So came out of Ernst & Young Management Consulting. I was working in Atlanta, traveled 52 weeks a year, wanted a better quality of life. And I've worked with Jack Welch, Bob Nardelli, you know, a lot of really brilliant people, but I was on the road, literally. I took over 100 flights a year for 9 years in a row. And decided to move from Atlanta back to Tampa and go back to entrepreneurship, which is where I started my first company when I was in high school. And I was talking to, this is 2003, I was talking to my neighbor who had an IT company. And in the conversation, this thought of why we pay people to fix problems came up. And his name was Adam. And I literally dawned on he and I that it's dumb. Why would anyone pay someone to fix a problem when you could pay someone to prevent a problem? So that launched my MSP, 2003. That was before ConnectWise had software. That was before most of the vendors in the channel even existed. So I launched my MSP in 2003. We grew 50% a year for 6.5 years and was approached by the largest private copy equipment dealer in the country to buy my MSP. We had 49 people at the time, and I wasn't for sale, wasn't listed anywhere, but they came to us, and next thing you know, we were gone. So I retired for a little while and then started Marketopia with the goal of helping originally MSPs. We founded to where we were solely dedicated to the MSP space, but quickly vendors and other media companies and distributors and things like that started to engage with us. And so our business is roughly 50-50 if you look at time between vendors and MSPs, but we're the largest generator of sales leads in the channel. Last month for MSPs alone, we secured 534 appointments. So yeah, you know, that's really, really good. And we're proud of that. And, you know, we think we can do a lot more, but you know, 534 chances for an MSP to achieve their dreams, to get their dream customer, to put their kids in private school education, you know, pay their mortgage bill, whatever you want to look at it. But that's what we take pride in every day is trying to make a difference to the customers that we serve and taking care of the 90 employees that we have in our office in London and our office in Tampa Bay.
That's awesome. I mean, all right. So you're doing like, let's call it 500 a month. Hopefully that's, you know, hopefully it goes up, right? Do you follow through what the conversion percentage is from all those books, meetings, and leads and all this? Like it has to move forward at some point too. The MSP has to do something, right? But like, how many of those get to a transaction? Do you have that metric?
For some, we have great metrics, and some we don't have any metrics. Vendors historically won't provide us any detail to go past that. We've worked with some in the online backup space that have a close ratio of probably 1%. And then we work with some that are in the cybersecurity industry on the vendor side that may have a 50% or more conversion rate. On the MSPs, our target is between 18 and 36% of all held appointments become signed contracts. Now, some people blow that KPI away and some people fail to achieve it, but that's the range that we try to keep people in, 18 to 36%. And that represents basically a 90% conversion from each phase to our sales methodology that we teach people. And honestly, the people that are on the higher end are the ones that are humble. The ones that are cocky tend to be on the lower end. And the reason, in fairness to them, is that they've been successful with word of mouth leads for years. It's easy to get addicted to that and have sales processes built for that and have pride centered around that. What we produce is a marketing lead, a normal lead, a stranger that you've got to earn every step of the process. So those who follow our methodology tend to do a lot better than those that don't. When I say a lot better, I mean significantly better, like probably 10 times more likely to succeed, something like that. But those are the KPIs that we drive to. But some customers, to be honest with you, close 70%, 75% of all appointments we set, and some probably struggle to get five.
Wow.
But yeah.
So obviously there's a lot of moving parts to get to that amount of appointments, leads, demos, whatever you want to call them. I assume, don't give away your magic recipe here by any means, but like we've always learned throughout the journey that like on not one activity usually results, right? Like usually there's a layered approach. So, what it like, how long does it take, for like maybe the vendor, and we can split this up, right? Maybe the vendor experience is a little bit different, right, from the MSP, I would assume. But like, let's start with the MSP side, right? Like, so you onboard a new MSP in a metro, and what is like from day zero to, hey, we're actually getting appointments in your schedule, how long does that usually take?
We take about 3 weeks to stand up a new client. Leads generally flow in week four, five, or six would be your first appointments. And those are held meetings. And the close ratio, as I mentioned, is kind of all over the map. There are some people, we've had people pay for us for life in 5 weeks from signature. And we've had people who take 5 months to get their first sale, like everything in between. But we try to, our goal is to get cash flow positive on a monthly basis, not just the total value of the sale, but on a monthly recurring revenue versus monthly recurring expense in 100 days. That's the KPI that we shoot for. And almost everyone gets there. There are some that don't. And for those, we have, kind of an intensive care group called a VIP peer group, which I literally dive in personally and try to help them through their challenge, whatever it is. But almost every time, to be completely honest with you, it goes back to they're running a sales process designed for a word of mouth lead, not a marketing lead. So it's more about getting them on track and following the sales methodology. One thing that has really separated us from most people, there's a lot of people in our world, every niece, nephew, child, CEO, tech person can build a website. That's not challenging. A good one might be, but it's certainly possible to do social media by yourself. It's possible to do a lot of things. One of the things that's really separated us is that we do marketing, lead generation, and sales coaching. So that is a very big differentiator for us. What good is a lead if you can't close it? And if you were really good at closing leads, you probably wouldn't hire the marketing firm. So there's a lot of people in our business that take advantage of ignorance and produce appointments and shake, rinse their hands of it and say, "I did my job, George. I don't know why you're not growing." Whereas we don't. We actually follow it through to the close. We'll actually work with you in a peer group setting to close deals, like literally your situation, your opportunity, and help you close deals. We take a lot of pride in the amount of companies that we've helped triple in 3 years or less. You know, there's a lot of those, and they're fun to work with. I'm sure you can appreciate that. I know BVoIP has created a lot of very successful MSPs as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the peer, yeah, I think that's very unique, right? That you run your own like customer peer groups because, yeah, like I tend to learn best from the people that are in the trench like me, right? Like I take, yeah, like I feel like, hey, they're doing the same thing I'm doing. They're shoveling the same problem that I'm shoveling. You know, they maybe have figured out something I haven't. Maybe they went through the same problem I'm going through now and have already figured out the answer. I've said a thousand times, you know, like you know, Philly guy, right? Oh, I'll figure it out. I'll just power through. And like, you get a little bruised and beaten and bloody that way, and slows you down, right? And it kind of also mentally cuts you down, right? Like, you just only can take so much stress, right? And you know, and then it accumulates on you. But like, I love hearing from other people who are like, hey, I got a trick for you. Or, hey, you know, like this, what you're doing may lead to a problem. Let me just throw you what happened to me. And like, I feel like that is, you know, the most, you know, you want to call it a community approach, it's fine. I think it's the most granular, like authentic way to pick up what to do next.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, everyone's got a dream. And I think our industry is filled with a lot of good people. Almost everyone in the channel I've met is a good person. And they all deserve to achieve their dream, but a lot of us aren't equipped with all the skills we need. We kind of got into this without getting 10 college degrees or having 20 years of work experience in all aspects of running a business, and we end up getting ourselves into a treadmill situation where we get a customer, lose a customer, and after 10, 20, 30 years, we're still running a $1 million MSP that's paying us 65 grand a year. And that's not right. And I made it my life's mission at this point to fix that and help people get over the hump. And you know, we had a success story that just happened in the last 3 months, 4 months. We had a client who came to us, and I could have bought their MSP for a dollar. And in 24 months, we sold it for 6 million.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's the kind of story that keeps me going. That's the kind of story I know keeps you going. There's a lot of people in this business that are, you know, professional money, and they judge success and failure as on the ROI of their investment dollar. And then there's people like you and I, George, who take a lot of pride in helping people achieve their dreams and making a difference and turning the dial and offering a solution to the business problem that's keeping them from achieving their goals. And that's really the mission of Marketopia. That's what gets me up every day. That's what motivates me. So when you hear a story like that, kind of gives a little fire and reminds you why you're doing what you're doing, and helps you get up at 6 a.m. so you can do it again the next day.
No, that's fair. That's fair. You're 100% right that the spectrum between the services that you offer is pretty wide, right? I mean, lead
It's getting
generation.
wider too, George. We've got big stuff coming in April.
Oh,
I don't want to spill the bag. Let's just say we're going to help a lot more MSPs sell for 6 million starting in April.
I mean, we're in April.
I
It's
know it.
April.
I know
It's
it.
April second.
We're 2 weeks out from a life-changing announcement. I don't want to spoil it. You know, I want you to know before everyone, George, we're going to have to do it offline because
Okay.
big stuff coming.
All right.
The reality, guys, is that there's a lot of people in the channel that are looking to exit in the next 3 to 5 years. You might be one of them. I'm sure you've already picked out your yacht on Necker Island in the BVIs, or whatever your chain of islands in the South Pacific. I'm sure you're ready for that next step, but
Right.
there's a lot of MSPs that are trying to get there, and we're going to help them. We're going to help them grow, increase their EBITDA, increase their valuation, and exit. And we're working on some really, really cool stuff that's going to come out here at the end of the month, and I can't wait to talk about it.
That's awesome. Well, we'll have to keep a good close watch at all the handles for Marketopia to figure out what that is.
Yep.
All right, so you're going to be adding a fourth component, but the three components, right? Lead gen, marketing services, and then what was the third one? Like
Sales training, sales
sales.
recruitment. Yep.
Yeah, sales training, sales consulting, peer groups are rolled into that. That's cool.
Yep.
Let's flip over to the vendor side for a second. So you know, you said about half your business is MSPs, the other half of your business is vendors in the MSP space. I assume that's a different motion for you.
It's the exact same services. It's just applied differently. MSPs tend to be very similar, whereas the vendors all by definition are different. And more importantly, vendors tend to have some things figured out. Like they're maybe really good at website SEO, but maybe they're not that good at email marketing, or maybe they're good at SEO but not good at pay-per-click, or they're good at marketing but they can't get leads. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we have customers who we produce 100 appointments a month for them, 100 qualified appointments a month, and that can help move the needle, and it has. I think we've created three or four unicorns since we started. You know, this is our 10th anniversary here in August this year, man, 10 years. And I think we've created either three or four unicorns, or helped create. So the vendor stuff is just more of a very similar service. The reality, for example, tele-lead gen. We have digital lead generation, like digital marketing, pay-per-click, that type of thing, and then tele-lead gen. If you call 2,000 MSPs, you'll get a certain number of appointments. And we call probably 200 to 300,000 different people a month to produce the appointments that we were talking about earlier. So it's the same service, just applied in a different way. So we might call MSPs to generate leads for vendors, or a vendor might pay us to get leads for their partner. So BVoIP, for example, you know, with the wealth that BVoIP has, might give MDF money, and we'll turn that into qualified leads for the MSP for BVoIP services. And while they're there, hopefully they can not only sell BVoIP but also cross-sell managed services. And we do that at scale too, and get vendors to help pay for it. So a lot of things we do, it's a very similar service, just applied in a different way, and it tends to be more a la carte than it is holistic. An MSP, we usually come in and just sort of get it done, whereas a vendor, we really collaborate and work in concert with an in-house team.
Yeah, 100%. That's cool. By the way, 10 years. Congratulations. A lot of people don't get to 10 years and are in good place. So you broke the mold. Last time when we jumped on, you had shared like a chart from the government, right? It was, and it basically was explaining the percentage of companies, in the US based on number of employees. And one of the things that I really took away from that one, and that's why I'm bringing it back up now, because I thought it was so important, was that if you're marketing to businesses larger than, I think it was like 20, you're losing 75% of the available businesses to sell to in the United States.
At least, yeah, I can't remember the exact number, but something like that. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, have big dreams. You know, oh, I'd rather have, you know, I'd rather work with Fortune 50. Well, so would Ernst & Young. Good luck with that. Go ahead and compete with Ernst & Young. Let's see how that goes. You know, our industry was built on the backs of small business. Small businesses selling to other small businesses, and there's a lot of MSPs who listen to talking heads on stage about swimming upstream, going after bigger customers, charging $350 a user, one plan, all in or nothing. And those do a great job. Implementing those strategies does a great job of creating a lifestyle business, because an MSP quickly realizes that the two customers that they have that fit that sweet spot were probably gotten through word of mouth leads. You know, they never had to actually earn those customers, or the sales capabilities that they have can't stack up when it's a competitive bid versus a word of mouth bid. And so it's a shame. We like to see MSPs set a dollar amount and say it's $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month. And if we can get a three person law firm to spend $1,000 a month, why the heck would you not want that customer? And there's a lot of people who have had a lot of success by being more open minded. And it usually comes down with this question, which is, if I looked at your current customer base, approximately what percentage would fall below the threshold you now say is your target market? And usually that number is between 75% and 95%. And that usually opens their mind to this epiphany, which is most managed services opportunities are in companies less than 25 employees, right? The lion's share, probably 90, 95% of all managed services opportunities are in small businesses like that. And part of that, to your point, is because 75% of all companies are less than 25 employees. But part of that also is the bigger you go, the more likely you are to have to compete with an in-house IT department.
Yeah, 100%. There's no question about that. Do you subscribe to the idea that everybody who needs an MSP already has an MSP, and that means the only way you're generating net new companies that you're working with are by getting them from, getting them to move from another MSP? Do you believe that sentence?
You know, I would tell you that's a trick question George, and I know you're trying to give me a curveball, but the bottom line is that most MSPs are not really MSPs, right? A lot of MSPs out there are pretenders. Either they have 5% of their revenue recurring or 20% of their revenue recurring, and they're really just a break fix VAR with a little managed services practice, or they have a good sales methodology. They bought great marketing collateral, sales collateral, maybe they have a great salesperson, and they lay a load of do on the prospect's desk to get the deal, but don't actually deliver on the promise. They don't really do after hours monitoring. They don't really do patch management. They don't really offer after hours support. You know, they kind of pretend to be something they're not. So I think the lion's share of people who say they're an MSP are actually not an MSP. So if you think of it that way, I would tell you no, there's a lot of green grass out there that comes, it's uncovered through education. Hey, this is what an MSP really is. This is how it works. Have you ever heard of compliance concerns for your industry? Have you ever thought through what you need to do to remain compliant? And that quickly unearths the fact that their trunk slammer, one, two, three man IT shop is really just breaking things that fix that are fixing things that break and not helping the customer secure their environment, meet their compliance requirements, or grow their business using technology. And so what we help our customers do is to really differentiate themselves in the market, have a better sales process where they can listen more, learn more, and then use that to win. Whether they're going to impress upon the prospects how great they are through great marketing and sales collateral, or just do what they say they're going to do, like deliver on the promise of being an MSP and truly prevent issues, prevent security breaches, and be the wind at the back of their customers instead of the wind in the face of their customers. So I think it's a trick question. There's a lot of trunk slammers out there. They command the market. I think MSPs, as I would define it, probably control 25% of the market. 75% of the market is probably with people who pretend to be MSPs or break fix, mom and pop kind of people. So I think there's a lot of green grass out there. The market is awesome right now. Our customers are growing faster than they ever have. They grew through COVID faster than before COVID. If you have your stuff together and get the word out there, right now, it's easy to win because there's a lot of chickens out there that are scared of what could happen in the economy, and they're retrenching. Whereas those that are confident and brave are getting the word out there and getting far more prospects than they deserve and closing a lion's share of them because there's not as much noise in the market.
That's interesting. I mean, we definitely heard an uptick during COVID, right? I think we also heard, across the board, right? Everybody had to like force their technology to change. But the fact that things are still moving upwards, I mean, there was a lot of conversation about, things fluctuating over the last year or two, or, like we didn't know, was it going up, was it going down? Not trying to get into politics. We are in an election cycle, right? We're in an election year, right? That always is like a weird year, right? For all the finance people out there. And then we see, right, how the next four years ago. So, what, you probably have consulted with a lot of MSPs who have been acquired, right? Or, part of a larger group, a roll up, a PC or VC funded, PE or VC funded group.
Yep.
Like, are you like, I know we see it in the news all the time because it's good headlines. Like, with all the MSPs that you've dealt with over 10 years, do you feel like that's on the uptick? Is that, obviously that's how a lot of people exit, but are you seeing a lot of your customers getting rolled up, by those groups?
Heck yeah. So guys, this is George, you've been around a long time too. You're almost as old as I am. Almost 50 this year. I don't know how old you are, but you're probably pretty close. The reality is that there are MSPs that are running good businesses and those that aren't. And the ones that are growing good businesses are either in the process of getting bought, in the process of buying and becoming the acquirer, or want to get on that path to make that happen in the next 3 to 5 years. And I would tell you that the combination of those three things is probably well north of 50% of the market. So a
Wow,
significant
50.
percentage of people, which is why there's a lot of people out there trying to pay 3 to 5 times EBITDA, George, and that's not okay with me. They don't deserve that. So I'm going to make it to where they're getting 5 to 10 times EBITDA, maybe more. And I've got some tricks up my sleeve to help make that happen. But there's a lot of people that want to sell, and I don't blame them. It's a great time to sell. There's a lot of money out there looking for return. and a well-run MSP can generate a return in great excess of what the stock market has produced, in great excess of what most small businesses can, at a much safer level due to the recurring revenue and great contracts that mature MSPs have. So if you're a crappy MSP that doesn't run your business right, doesn't know how to grow, yeah, you're not worth much and you won't be. But if you're a more mature MSP who's either got their stuff together, running a balanced business, generating organic growth, an organic profit, you're already there. You're ready to go. Just keep growing and you'll exit. And then there's MSPs who are smart enough to know that they need those things and they come get them or go get them either through internal investment or through third-party support. And they become profitable, growing entities that are either a platform MSP that commands a high multiple that people can roll businesses into, or a business that gets tucked in. And so my goal is to make sure that the Marketopia's clients sell for 25 to 100% more than the ones that aren't Marketopia clients. And I've got a system, and I can't wait to share it.
Oh, wait a minute. This theme has to do with the thing that's coming out in 2 weeks?
Yeah, George.
Oh, okay. I just
George,
wanted to make sure I put that together.
how many millionaires do you think Beeblebrox created?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know for sure, but I know you know how many millionaires you've
I
created.
don't. I have no idea. But wouldn't it be great for you and I to be sitting on a porch, watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico, talking about the fact that you helped 700 MSPs retire multimillionaires,
Yeah, that
or
sounds great. That means I
you
must have
know?
something good.
That's the kind of thing that people like you and I are trying to do on a daily basis, right? We're trying to make a difference. We're trying to help people achieve their goals. It's not about, you know, making 10 million with private equity, or it's not about getting bought by this and that Broadcom, whatever, who knows. It's about making a difference. And I want to help the little guy win. I want to help the little guy become a big guy. I want to help the little guy grow their business to a point where they can sell it and provide for their families and hopefully create multi-generational wealth. And live the lifestyle you do, George, you know, with Philly football tickets, living a lifestyle,
I
just
was
jet
gonna
setting
say,
around. And I don't know if it's a private jet or if you just charter your own Delta airline. I'm not exactly sure, but I want everyone to live the life that you enjoy, you
I mean,
know?
listen, my the other Alex Stanners on my team is Mr. Delta. I don't have the allegiance to Delta for whatever it's worth. That being said, I'm not even the first class guy, Terry. I'm low key, right? Just get me on the plane, I don't need to get a little crazy with that. But I do a ton of traveling. Trust me, most of those not vacations. I do. Yep, for the record, no secret. Follow me on Facebook and all Instagram, all those places. Like, I'm big Philly sports fan, so like that does drive me to places. I'll admit, but definitely not living on some yacht in the Gulf of Mexico. That's for sure. Not saying that that doesn't sound nice or anything, but
We'll get you there, George. We'll get
I
you there.
often ask myself if I'm wired to get to that point or not. Like, some people are just got to be doing something, right? Like, I look at my own father and he's supposed to be retired, and I feel like he's working more now than he ever has, but I digress. But to that point, MSP business, Terry, you've been through it, I've been through it. I've been saying this for years. It's a hard business. Like, it's not, there's a lot of people, to your point, that don't get past $1 million in revenue, right? And it's a miserable $1 million, right? Like, it's nights, weekends, under desk, no vacations, just getting beat up, right? Because people, have a high expectation. Some of that is part of the mistake, right? You set an unrealistic picture, right? Have you seen successful, I'm going to flip it around. So we talked about PE, VC, and that's happening, right? Have you seen successful groups of MSPs coming together and just merging into a larger entity on their own? Like, is that a strategy that you've seen successful?
Yes, and I've also seen stronger MSPs tuck in smaller MSPs.
Sure.
Maybe the people who are miserable, you know, they're like, you know what? In 20 years my business might be more, but I also might die of stress, and because I wasn't built for this. I wasn't built to. I want to work for someone else and make them worry about my paycheck. I'll take a $100,000 a year salary and be a member of the team. We're seeing really acquisitions across the spectrum. We have customers, or we have. So part of our lead generators work for M&A Okay, so we help buy and sell side M&A, right?
Okay, there
We
it
might
is.
call big MSPs looking for buyers. We might call private equity and VCs looking for buyers, but we also might call MSPs looking for sellers. And we're seeing acquisition and consolidation happening more and more and more and more frequently. And it's happening across the spectrum. You'll see two one-man shops merge, and that helps them usually run a better business because they can get rid of the SG&A expenses and use that money to help invest in growth. And so there's a company in my head right now that we helped grow, I think 380% in 4 years, and really it started for them with about consolidating departments across two organizations to create cash to then invest in the front end of their business, the sales and marketing end of their business. And that led to them growing. And they're closing, a client every maybe 3 to 5 days now. And, 5 years ago, they might have closed a new client every 3 to 5 years. So it can have a material impact on that. And so you're seeing little tiny companies merge. You're seeing medium MSPs get gobble up little MSPs. You're seeing big MSPs buy other big MSPs. You're seeing private equity. There's an appetite on both sides. There's an appetite for sellers and buyers. And frankly, you're seeing that happen more and more frequently. I don't know about you, but you almost hear of a new story every 2, 3 days. And there's probably about 10 times more that we don't hear about. It's happening quite a bit. And I think it's a wonderful thing, you know?
Awesome. So you have the team over there in Tampa, and then you also have the team over in the UK, right?
Yep.
Are you seeing a big difference in the way that the companies over on the European side function versus the people here in the States? Is there, I know, like even different parts of the US, right? Depending on what metro, things are slightly different, but like, is the business still effectively the same across the ocean?
I would tell you that's one of the life lessons that I've learned over the last 5 years as we opened the UK office. When we first launched it was the beginning of COVID, and we were trying to decide between Sydney and London. And we ended up going to London because, well, it's a lot closer. It's a lot more logistically convenient. So, and the biggest surprise I've seen in Europe is basically they underprice everything. And so we end up spending a lot of time teaching them how to justify through value charging more. And it's an interesting thing. And I didn't understand how different it could be until I really started to work with MSPs in London and hear them talking about all-in support contracts that you and I might see go for 100, 125, 150 bucks a user, and they're selling it for 40. 40.
What?
30 to 50 to 60 pounds. So 40 to 80 bucks a user. And so, they struggle to grow because
What's
they don't have any
included in
profit
that?
left over.
Now, I
What's
was gonna
that?
say, like, what do they offer at that price point?
All in. It doesn't work. And the reality is what happens at the end of the day, George, is you struggle to have enough technicians to support the clients with that money. And if you take and try to run a real business where you have finance departments and marketing departments and sales departments, you just can't have those. So we're teaching them, and it really all comes down to about, it's really about sales and marketing, right? How do you demonstrate more value that people are willing to pay for? And so some countries are more advanced than others, and the US is definitely very advanced, more mature market from an MSP. But I think honestly, we're only mature when it comes to phase one of this game. Like I think the last 20 years of MSP is like phase one of a multi-phase process, and we're on the cusp of entering into phase two, where we're all going to have to grow up and do a better job of offering more higher end solutions that are more formidable lines of defense for our customers. I think we're going to be faced with additional compliance requirements coming out of government and industry, self-regulating industries. I think the game's going to change. And the reality is the most successful MSPs are going to be the ones making that pivot. And that's just going to breed more consolidation and more maturity, but it brings tons of opportunity. There's a lot of millionaires that are going to be created in the managed services space over the next 10 years.
Wow. Okay. So we've learned there is a market difference between one
Big
side
time.
of the ocean and the other. I know every once in a while we see like international type, kind of merger, right? Where somebody in the US has a branch in the UK, has a branch in, I've heard South Africa, I've heard Australia, I've heard all over the place. It's always popular to say that you're an international company for sure. I think this, it's a little bit harder to manage from abroad, I think, but I digress.
I agree.
Even with the currency conversion, sometimes it's you got to play that game. And like, by the way, the international market does what it does, right? You're just along for the ride, I hear. What do you think? Let me go into another direction. So obviously this is a very event-driven industry, right? MSP land. Obviously for MSPs attending events run by vendors, how successful have you seen your MSPs run their own events to drive traffic locally?
You know, let me give you a little secret sauce here, George. So just keep this between you and I. Micro events are very, very powerful lead generators and sales generators. A micro event might be me saying, hey, George, do you want to grow? And you're like, Terry, I'm too busy. I'm good. I don't need it. I'm good. I have all the money I could possibly spend, But if I said, hey, George, well, can I take you to the Phillies Tampa Bay game? I mean, I know it's not going to end well for you, but we'll at least have fun together. You're going to be a lot more likely to say yes. And that's an example of a micro event where you turn the request for an appointment into something of more value. We call it a find the time promo, because I'm going to find the time on George's schedule by offering him a gift in exchange for his time. And tickets to watch Tampa Bay beat the Eagles would be an example of such a gift. And so, yeah, we see that a lot. Do I see MSPs putting on 500 person conferences? No. Do I see people generating lunch and learns and webinars with 10, 20, 30, 50 people there? Absolutely. We do it every day here. We'll turn the lead generator onto, instead of setting appointments for the sales team, we turn them on to filling a Topgolf room or a lunch at a steakhouse or a suite at the Eagles game, So micro events, I think, are extremely underrated. And that's an example of how our industry is starting to grow up. If you're in the medical industry, the thought of bringing a gift in exchange for time is normal, right? They would bring boxes of cookies or whatever, crumble cookies, or take them on fishing trips is very common to take a doctor on a fishing trip. So you get an hour of their time, or in this example, the fishing example might be 8 hours of their time. In exchange for taking them fishing. So our industry is growing up and starting to realize that offering people a free assessment is not the equivalent of offering them anything of value. It's valuable, and we know it's valuable, but if everyone's offering it for free, it's not really a value, right? So offering something of value is what I call a micro event, and something that is becoming a powerful tool for our clients to get more leads than they would have ever gotten without it.
Okay, so let me parlay right off of that. You said that you have been successfully able to get MDF dollars out of vendors to help generate lead gen for MSPs. This category is one of those categories. Now,
absolutely.
How much, I don't know, have you been more successful in generating appointments with that money or micro events, or I don't know what works best?
I would tell you that depends on the scale. If we have a vendor that gives us a $5,000 one-time hit versus a vendor that says, here's $100,000 a month, generate a ton of appointments for my partners. Like B-Boy might flick off a couple hundred grand a month and just say, you know what? I want my resellers to get far more leads than their fair share by helping them do it. I want you to feed every B-Boy partner 5 additional leads a month for a VoIP system. That would drastically increase the growth rate of B-Boy. And also be a great gift that would help you compete with some of the other voice over IP companies. So that's an example of where a vendor might do that. At a $5,000 price point, you're kind of limited by what you can do. So in that example, you might call and email people to invite them to an event at Topgolf or at a steakhouse or something like that. Whereas if there's a more of a recurring investment, you can start doing much bigger and better things. That's one of the challenges with marketing is, the real value comes when you're able to invest what it takes to be successful. And an easy illustration of that is pay-per-click. managed IT services Philly might cost $100 a click.
Wow.
So unless you have a daily digital Google budget of $200 or $300 a day, which $300 a day, there's 22 business days a year.
All right,
So unless
Bob.
you have a digital spend budget of $6,600 a month, you
Yeah.
can't go get a good lead. You're going to get
Wow.
computer repair, I don't know, South Jersey or something like that, long tail keyword, lower value, lower price point. You're not going to get this the slow pitch down the middle. You're going to get the long shot that may or may not work, but you can't afford to play with the big boys. So we like to see people generate what it takes to be successful and then help them make sure they optimize the ROI of that. And we're able to do it. We can get most people cash flow in 100 days or less. So it's not like it's that hard to do. You just have to have the courage to do what it takes to be successful sometimes.
Yeah, $6,600 a month. I mean, it's not for a lot of companies, just for AdWords, right? We didn't talk about anything else. That's paying Google a lot of money for sure.
You would be amazed at what I bet you. I just underestimated that the cost of that keyword in Philly is probably
Really?
closer to 150, 250, 350. But you're competing with data centers, enterprise vendors. But the reality is, what would that lead be worth? Managed IT services, Philadelphia. That appointment's worth a lot. One of the secrets that MSPs are starting to figure out is that if you look at the lifetime value of a client and you divide that by your close rate. So let's say if the lifetime value of a client, when it comes to profit, if you keep them for 10 years and you're generating, $500 a month for 10 years, right? That is a, say, what is that? 500 times 12 times 10, right? That's 110,000. I think if my calculator was right. If you have a 20% close ratio, that means a lead is worth about $21,000. A
Okay.
lead. So spending $300 on a click seems dumb until you realize that amateur hour MSPs aren't even in the game. So you're going to be out there competing with people charging twice as much as you because they're EDS or AT&T or something like that. But bottom line, if you can get a 20% close ratio, you're going to 5x your money. You just have to think big picture, be m a mature business owner, and be logical instead of emotional when it comes to your marketing investments.
Yeah, no, hey, data is important. I think I think a lot of the time, Terry, the data is wrong. You know what I mean? Like they're working off of inaccurate information, and so they're making decisions they think off of good, solid, concrete, and it's not, And I think part of that, to your point, is a lot of MSPs haven't correctly measured their costs, and their customer value. I think Terry, a lot of MSPs don't understand the profitability of their accounts, to be honest. Like you said, hey, you're making $500 a month off an account. It's like, do they actually know if they're profitable? I think that's part of the problem.
Totally agree. It's a shame. And I would tell you that separates the 1% of MSPs from the rest. The 1% of MSPs are savvy enough to go, wait a minute, what's a customer worth to me? And what's my close ratio? Because if I put those two together, I can tell you the value of an actual lead. And if a value of an actual lead is, it's very often in the 20,000 to 40,000 per lead. The lowest I've seen it kind of in a natural world might be like 2 or 3,000 a lead. That's the value of it, logically, not emotionally, and it's your P&L, your numbers, right? No, not averages or anything. Well, if a lead costs you a grand and it's going to give you $3,000 back, a savvy MSP would invest everything they have in that, right? And a savvy MSP might realize that an ROI might not be 30 days because MSPs keep customers 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So the ones that are really successful are the ones who get that and are investing what it takes to achieve those growth goals and generating more leads than their fair share. We have customers who are getting 30 and 40 qualified appointments a month. That's just an MSP. And
Wow.
you start doing that and have an 18% close ratio, do the math. You're closing 10, 12 new clients a month.
What size is that MSP that can do 40 appointments a month?
Three person sales team,
Okay.
not crazy. Two person, three person sales team. It depends on the customer and the salesperson. Virtual ones tend to be more efficient than physical ones. They tend to have a lower close ratio, but they tend to be more efficient with how many they can handle. We like to see, let me put it this way, mathematically speaking, for an MSP salesperson to be successful, they can't generate their own appointments. They will never generate enough to multiply it by their normal expected close ratio to achieve an ROI. Very few MSPs without a strong marketing backing will ever achieve quota. So most MSPs that hire a salesperson see them fail, probably by 98% fail. What you have to do is to give a salesperson 5 to 10 net new qualified appointments a month. And when you do that, the success rate goes from probably 2% to probably 70%. So it's logical. As a savvy business owner, you would never give a customer a phone book and tell them good luck and then hold them accountable for a 5K recurring quota a month. You'd say, listen, I want you to get 5 new clients a month. And normal for us is a 20% close ratio. So I'm going to give you the mathematical number of appointments that you need to hit quota, and then I'm going to hold you accountable for doing that. That's what a savvy CEO does, and that's what the 1% of MSPs that are killing it do.
Got it. Well, I mean, there's a lot in there, what you just said, but I can't tell you how many times somebody's hired, whether they had tech background or not, somebody's hired a salesperson or sales or multiple salespeople, and that just never resulted in a good outcome in the end. I mean, I think part of that, Terry, is usually a lot of the owners of these types of companies are technical in nature. They've never managed a sales person or people before, so they don't. They can't really coach them to success. And then number two, right? Sometimes you're taking somebody at a square peg round hole into, they're putting them into a new industry that, quite frankly, doesn't, they don't know what they're selling, right? Like they have no idea what the end outcome is that they're offering. And that causes a whole nother set of issues, right? Where like, you oversold, under delivered type thing, and then that usually ends up bad. So I digress. Especially for the small, like obviously you get to a certain point, you have to have salespeople, but like the owner led, like, hey, set up the appointment, let me go in and knock them down because I know what's going on. That's, in my opinion, I've seen that successful all a lot of the time. But like you really need some, unless you're bringing in a really seasoned person that's been doing this for a while, to get a new salesperson functional at a IT services company could take months.
Whether you're an owner-led sales or you hire a salesperson, the math should stay the same. Divide the number of new clients you want per month by your close ratio to get the number of leads you need to get. So if you're a one-man MSP and you're a business owner, you say, you know what, Terry, my dream mathematically requires I get a new customer a week. I want 4 a month. And I have a 20% close ratio. I'm going to take that 4 number and divide it by 0.2 to get 20 appointments a month. Until you're getting 20 appointments a month, your dream is a fantasy. If you want to turn that dream into an expectation, you've got to find a way to get 20 appointments a month. It doesn't matter who I give them to. I want to give them to the person with the highest close ratio. At the end of the day, you've got to mathematically figure out what your dreams are going to take. And that's the first thing that we do with every person who comes in, whether you're a vendor or an MSP. We say, okay, what's your dream? And George says, listen, I want to sell for 100 million in 10 years. And that's probably a realistic goal, probably conservative for someone at your level, but you know what I mean, illustration wise. You might be at a billion. But say it's 100 million. What we would do is back that in and say, okay, how many customers a month do you need? And you say, I need 20 new customers a month. And I say, okay, Georgie, what's your close ratio? And you say 30%. And I'd say, okay, 20 divided by 0.3. Georgie, I need to give you 67 appointments a month. And as soon as I do that, your dreams become expectations. And the beautiful thing about someone like Marketopia is there's no number of appointments we can't give someone. If you've got the money to go get it, we can get it. We've given people 100 a month, 200 a month, or 2 a month. It doesn't really matter. The key to satisfaction and success as an entrepreneur is to put your money where your dreams are and do what it takes to achieve them. And in marketing and sales, it's very simple. It's just math. It's simple math. It's not even complicated. We make it complicated because we have head trash about doing things internally or as a third party, or how many times I sent off this stupid postcard and it didn't result in an appointment, or the last person that ripped me off by telling me that the path to prosperity is SEO or some single discipline marketing and sales strategy. It just doesn't work. What you need to do is to figure out how to get leads and close them. And it's not hard. It's just simple math. So that's what I would tell you in terms of how you help. You're on the road, you talk to a lot of MSPs every day. Until they do that math and get the number of leaves they may mathematically need to achieve their dreams, they're just fantasizing about what their future might be. But do what it takes, and it'll turn into an expectation.
I'm gonna take that's my favorite line out of this whole thing. Put your money where your dreams are. I like that. I'm gonna yeah. I always where your mouth is, right? That's the cliche. I'm gonna switch that up. That was really. I'm gonna put that as the quote of this session, I think. Obviously, money. Results vary based on how much money you're investing, right? I mean, that's just a hard reality to this, right? And so, but I do agree with you at 1,000%, Terry. Presence and awareness and just visibility and branding. If it's not generating leads that ultimately generate transactions on the other side, I feel like you're running after your tail. I mean, I agree with you 1,000% there. And I think a lot of people would, a lot of people got really wealthy in this industry, Terry, selling a dream that wasn't attainable, to be totally honest. I don't want to put names to it because, but
You
you know what
can, George. I gave you permission. I'm
I'm
just saying. You're exactly right. And in defense of those people, something's better than nothing. And there's a
Sure.
lot of people in our industry who started with literally nothing. What's your marketing budget? $0. How many leads did you get last month? Zero. Well, I sent 27 postcards, and I didn't get any appointments. Well, that's because sending postcards is not the path to prosperity. Even if it did work, it's not going to work well enough for you to achieve your goals. And it's multiplied by the fact that you only send them once. You've got to have repetition and consistency in your marketing. Get your message out there on a regular basis because people don't get a postcard and decide to hire an MSP. It usually comes down to an event, like their MSP retiring or not responding fast to a ticket or having a security breach. You have to have your message in front of customers every week, every month, so that you're there and top of mind when the time comes to engage you. So that's why we like to call about 2,000 businesses a month per MSP to keep that MSP's name in the ear, in the voicemail, or in the person's ear of their prospect. And if you do that, you can create a very consistent flow of leads that will work with you to learn how to close.
That's awesome. Terry, where do people find out more information about as an MSP or as a vendor, how to engage with Marketopia and how to start?
Yeah, I mean, the best place to go would be to go to marketopia.com or thegrowthmachine.com. Either of them gets you into the Marketopia ecosystem. And George, whether you're a vendor or an MSP, it doesn't matter. What I'd like to do is to take everyone that listens to this webinar and have them have value from it. And I'll help them create that number. I'll help them figure out what their number mathematically needs to be. No obligation, no questions, no nothing. Just tell them what their dreams are going to take, so that they can make the conscious decision whether they're going to do what it takes to achieve their dreams or, equally valid, modify their dreams to something they are comfortable pursuing. Either way is fine with me, as long as at the end of the day, everyone in the channel that deserves to win does. All the good guys win, all the good gals win, and everyone achieves the goal that they're willing to do what it takes to achieve.
Fair. No, that's great advice. And by the way, we're gonna make sure, other than I love the quote, money where your dreams are, hopefully people take advantage of that, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that charge a lot of money to do some of the stuff that you're talking about. I would say never turn down good advice. And if people are willing to help, take that up. That's my 2 cents for everyone. I wish I took that advice as younger George. Probably would have gotten further faster, but I digress. You live and you learn.
It's never too late, George. Never too late. Now you can just start. You know what you should do, George? Take some of the millions that you've made, get one of those money guns, maybe two of them, and run through like DattoCon, IT Nation, every event, really. Just the George fountain of money. And you're just throwing hundos up in the, throwing Benjamins at people at grand scale and helping
Yeah.
people achieve their dreams,
Yeah. I mean, I think Oprah gave away cars that one episode that everybody else
Yes.
talked about. But there's other people that use this gimmick, Terry, and it's not good.
George, let me
There.
ask you a question. On the based on your average margin per customer,
Yeah.
how many new voice over IP customers would an MSP need to get to have a $500 recurring revenue stream? How many new customers would it take on average for an MSP?
Two.
So
One.
two customers are going to make them, one or two customers, 500. So you really could give them a car. As a matter of fact, you do. You've probably bought hundreds or thousands of cars for people over time, whether they chose to buy a
I
car
hope so.
or a drink at Honey Baked. is up
I
to them,
hope
but you've helped a
so.
lot of people buy a car. So you're kind of like the channel equivalent of Oprah.
Oh, let's not say that. But
You're every man. She's every woman. You're every man, George.
the bottom line is to that point, Terry, and I like on the way out the door here, I did have a call from a partner yesterday, and he was like, you must have partners that don't mark this up properly and they just give it away at just like 20% over margin. I'm like, yeah, we tell them that they're probably not doing it right. My most successful partners charge as much as they can get. And quite frankly, as much as they can get, if you're just matching the street price of, the big box guys out there, you're at least 2Xing what we're charging you. And if you're not doing that, then you're not doing it right. And quite frankly, there's money to be made. Actually, the same partner in the same conversation said, this is the most profitable thing we sell.
Love that. George, you're helping people achieve their dreams. That's what it's all about.
Awesome. Terry, appreciate you coming on. Everyone else, we recorded this session. You will find the recording on YouTube, on your podcatcher, and on MSPinitiative.com under sessions. We will be, out and about. You heard that we do a lot of stuff out and about. And Marketopia team's always out there as well. I'm sure we're going to see them, at some of the events that we just talked about coming up soon here before June or around June, between now and then. But in the meantime, every time I'm in Florida, Terry always offers me to go to the office. One of these times I'm going to take him up for that.
Come on,
But
buddy.
yeah, if you want to go to Tampa, this is a good way to get there. So, send him a message too. He might say, come on by.
Love it.
You got it, guys. Thank you very much for watching and listening. Terry, catch up with you later, my friend.
Back to you, George. Thank you. Appreciate it.
See you, my friend.